Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. On this very eventful Wednesday hump day, going to be a beautiful day in the greatest city in America, Atlanta, Georgia. A lot to talk about with what happened last night in the NBA draft lottery, and we'll do so coming up on the program in the 8 o'clock hour. Steve Holman will join us live. Big night tonight for Atlanta United as they take on Vancouver, going for their fifth straight win, and maybe, who knows, Hugh, a fifth straight shutout win. And we'll talk and hear from Julian Gressel at 7:40 this morning. We had a chance to talk to him. Atlanta United games kicks off at 10 o'clock tonight.
10 o'clock. That's going to be a long night. Long night. So make sure that you hydrate right the proper way and then, you know, do what you got to do. But, yeah, it's going to be a long night for a lot of Five Stripes fans.
You know, and, of course, Atlanta United left Michael Parkhurst and Darlington Nagbe back here in Atlanta. Just resting them. That's all. And be with the plate of games that they have with New York Red Bulls in Red Bull Arena coming up on Sunday. Got to start resting people. It'll be interesting to see what kind of a lineup Frank DeBoer decides to go with tonight against the Whitecaps. Again, our coverage begins with Mike Conley and Jason Longshore at 9:30 tonight with the game starting at 10. We do have an official watch party if you're inclined in the Milton area to be at the Old Blind Dog in Milton starting at 9 tonight. I know it's a late Sunday night, but if you can, come join us in the Milton area at Old Blind Dog, and it should be a lot of fun as Atlanta United goes for five
Wednesday,
in a row.
Wednesday night. Wait, Wednesday night.
What did I say?
Sunday.
Yeah, it's about the same difference. It's a work day tomorrow.
I guess.
I was thinking about Red Bulls on Sunday.
Oh. No, it's cool. Except for it's Wednesday, but it's cool.
Well, you and I used to work Sundays.
Yeah. And we'll start working Sundays real soon again. So it's no biggie.
I'm sure we will. Yeah, because football season around the corner.
Right around the corner there, brother.
There is breaking news from overnight for the Atlanta Braves. Austin Riley is now an Atlanta Brave. He's being called up to the team. Going to be interesting to see how they use him. Now, the word is that Ender Inciarte is going, got a lower back strain and is maybe going on the IR. But Austin Riley has been tearing it up at AAA this year in 37 games, 15 home runs, 39 RBIs. They've been putting him, Hugh, not only at his natural third base, but also he's played some first base. And he's played, 8-10 games in the outfield, kind of grooming him there. So he could come in and play kind of multiple positions, spot start Josh Donaldson, you know, maybe spot start in left field. Because with Ender going on, if Ender goes on the IR, I got to believe Ronald Acuna is going to center field.
Yeah, and it gives you a chance by him being able to play third base and play other positions. It gives you a little bit more flexibility, and that's kind of what they've been doing all year long. You know, you're talking about moving guys around and everything, especially on that outfield. Mm-hmm. Gives you a little bit more latitude to do things like that.
So it'll be interesting to get Austin Riley up here. And at this point, after what happened last night in the 14-3 debacle, we'll see today if there's another move, if they decide to send Mike Voltenevich to AAA to try to get right, or if they send whoever, send him somewhere. I mean, send him, take him back to Florida. He's just, he's too important.
Just get him out of here.
No, I'm not getting him out. I'm not like, okay, I'm done with you. It's like,
I know
AJ Minter. AJ Minter had to. It's like AJ Minter had to go. You know, get him. You go fix him if you can. You know, and if you can't fix him, no harm, no foul to me. But Fulton Everett, there is harm and foul if you can't fix him.
Yeah,
we need him fixed.
Yeah, and because he was one of the guys that you were wholeheartedly counting on. You know, he gave you 4.2 innings last night. He got eight hits. It was like eight hits and eight hits, seven runs, something crazy like that. I was looking at the box score. But, yeah, it was a tough night for him last night, no question about that. No, I had it backwards. Seven hits, eight runs. So, yeah, it was a rough, rough night for him. And they stuck
with
him.
Three home runs.
Yeah, man, and they tried to stick with him as long as they possibly could. But, yeah, something's definitely going on with him.
Yeah, something definitely going on with him that's not good for Mike Voltenevich, and they got to fix it. If it's a mechanical issue, if it's a health issue, if it's a – you know, an emotional, I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, it's not good. And so we'll see what the Braves decide to do. Again, Mike Soroka on the mound, Braves back to .500 again, tried to get right as their short win streak is snapped. So this Dow Jones and all over the place. 120 games to go, though, Hugh. I mean, it is a long way to October.
Yeah, but that was one of the guys, when you look at it, you were dependent on him. So we need to get it. We need to figure out what's going on with you, brother. We need to get you right.
The NBA, of course, is reacting to what happened last night. So many different storylines. We've been going over it with you. The New Orleans Pelicans getting the number one pick. You know, some fans immediately wanted to jump on, this is rigged. Hey, it's rigged. No, it's not. And here's how it's not rigged. If it had been, when they went to the break, there were four teams still standing, right? Those four teams were the Lakers, the Knicks, the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, had it come back from the break and they went with the fourth pick, the Memphis Grizzlies, with the third pick, the New Orleans Pelicans, with the second pick, the LA Lakers, and with the first pick, the New York Knicks, I think a lot of us would have said, oh my God, this thing is rigged. But they didn't. They said the Lakers and Knicks 3-4, and they have the top two picks, which is Zion and Ja Morant, in some order, or maybe that order, going to two of the smallest markets, and you pass up on a chance to put Zion and Ja with LeBron and in Madison Square and Staples. Yeah, this thing's not rigged.
I know they really probably wanted it to be that way, but it didn't work out like that. And I know a lot of the people, I know Patrick Ewing, he didn't show it, but he probably was a little depressed, a little dejected that his team didn't get the number one overall pick. That's what a lot of people thought. Knicks fans thought that was going to be the case, but it didn't work out like that.
Well, you have Brandon and Lindale tweeted into us and basically said he wants, like you said earlier, to see the ping pong balls.
I do too. I really want to see the ping pong balls.
It makes you wonder a little bit. But look, they do it in the back room. We understand that. And they do it in a controlled environment. And the reason they do that is because if there's any dispute about what's taking place with the ping pong balls, they can hash it out and iron it out and stop right there. And there's not going to be a debacle on national TV because the show has to stay tight because you're going right to a game. You can't have a 20-minute review of a ping pong ball getting stuck in an air hole and going, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Because you've got to get to the game. So
yeah, but it shouldn't be like all of those problems should be worked out. How many times have you seen the ping pong balls get stuck in the air hole when they do it for the lottery? They don't.
I know. I'm just saying.
And don't they? Because when I think about the lottery, the draft lottery, the NBA draft lottery, I think about it in the same format as I think about the lottery. When they cut to the break and they had the people out there, they had the ping pong balls and they pull them out of the thing. I'm thinking the same thing. So, I mean, it should be one of those things. If you want to have some drama, do that instead of having Miss Nichols out there, Rachel Nichols out there trying to crack funny jokes that are falling flat.
Yeah. Yeah. That was another thing, too.
Listen.
She didn't have a good night.
Let me say this. And you know, male, female, black, white, green, whatever. Like, to me, last night, she was trying too hard to be something that she really didn't have to be in that scenario. And then what was it? Who was up there with Zion Williams? Was it Reddish that was up on stage with him?
R.J. Barrett?
R.J. Barrett. It was R.J. Barrett that was his teammate. To ask that young man, what is it like to play with the number one overall draft pick? That was real disrespectful.
I agree.
Like, that was real, real disrespectful for her to do that. And he sat there and he answered it in the best that he possibly could. But just as much as this Zion's moment, it's every other young man that's there. It's their moment as well. And I know Zion is the focus. Don't get me wrong. And they made that clear during the broadcast last night. But to sit there last night and to ask this man, basically asking, what is it like playing with the number one draft pick? I mean, you play with him. Because she asked, you play with him and Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like? What about him?
Yeah, what about him?
What about him? He's sitting there. He's about to get drafted, too.
I'm the number three pick, and you're dissing me?
You're like dissing me. I'd have been like, man, come on now. Stop that. That was not cool. And then for her to sit up there and try to, make jokes and crack funny, it was just I don't think she needed to do that. She's respected enough in this business that, she's not Groucho Marx. She's not anybody like that. She's not Tim Conway, RIP, by the way. She's not him.
Yeah,
so she didn't need to do all that.
Yeah, true.
She didn't have to do all that. And that was ridiculous. That was ridiculous to me yesterday.
Talking about the NBA draft lottery and all the different storylines, Hawks at 8-10, and we'll certainly get into that with Steve Holman coming up at the top of the hour. I also want to take this little kind of detour, if we can, in the draft and talk about what we brought up with, would Zion, who's, I think Zion was probably coached and coached very well in terms of not overreacting when he was on the show. Because, they certainly knew that he was going to be, you know, interviewed as the presumptive number one pick, and we all know that he's going to be the number one pick, but they said you can't, you know, slam your teammates. In other words, you can't go up there going, hey, you know, like looking at everybody else. It would have been bad form. So he was coached very well. So he was going to be, you know, coached to be very flat no matter who took him. But, boy, he seemed awfully, awfully flat that it was going to be New Orleans. I'm just saying that was the impression. I'm not saying it's true. And so it led a lot of people to say, you know, would he actually say, I'm not going to New Orleans, you got to trade me. This would not be the first time this has happened.
No, it hasn't, John. And I did a little homework. There's been a couple of NBA players that have decided, you know, not to go to the teams that they were drafted by. The obvious, most obvious one is Kobe Bryant, and where he made it clear that he wanted to go to the Lakers. This is one that I didn't know. Dominique Wilkins, back in, what was it, 1982, was drafted by the Utah Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Did not want to go to the Jazz.
Man, when they made that trade, I was a young reporter, and I ran down to the Omni, and they said they were trading for Dominique Wilkins, and they were trading for John Drew for Dominique Wilkins. We're like, you're trading John? I mean, because you had to understand at the time, John Drew was the star of the Atlanta Hawks for an unproven guy out of UGA.
Yeah, and another guy. This is a little bit closer to where Zion's going to be. The one that I found that was the highest second-round draft pick overall for Vancouver was Steve Francis. And when he went, the story goes that he made all types of excuses about why he didn't want to go there. He said because of the taxes, the fact that he was going to be away from his family, all types of stuff. Mm-hmm. So he was a guy who refused to play for the team.
And he was a great player, Rolls Eyes.
Kiki Vandeweghe.
Kiki Vandeweghe.
Kiki?
No, it's Kiki Vandeweghe.
Okay.
This was an old thing. One of the young guys that we had anchoring for us once said Kiki Vandeweghe, and it was like, oh my God.
And he was the 11th overall pick for the expansion team, the Dallas Mavericks, and he didn't want to go.
He didn't want to go there?
He didn't want to go. He didn't want to go. So anyway. So it's not unprecedented.
I
know some people were talking about it this morning about, you know, guys in the NBA don't do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has been done.
Oh, I got one. I'll tell you about it in a moment. I'll tell you. And it's got another. It's an Atlanta one. The guy that didn't want to come here and what happened there. I'll tell you that story in a moment after we get you $1,000.
$1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
water. W-A-T-E-W.
Got that water. Ain't that a song?
Water.
I think I heard they got that water. It's not water. It's water. Got that water.
It's not W.
Got that water.
W-A-T-R.
What is water? What is that? Is that something we can't talk about on air?
W-A-T-E-R. Water. The 72881.
Why
make
everybody
no mistake.
Smiling at me?
I don't know. I'm trying to do the read here.
Somebody tweet. What is that water? When they say I got that water.
Oh, man. 72881. Message. Data rates may apply. Do not text and drive.
I feel so old. That
water. The 72881. Okay. Oh, here's the Atlanta story. Now, again, famous people that didn't want to go to their teams. John Elway didn't want to go to the Baltimore Colts. Forced the Colts to trade him to Denver. You know, that just one of many, okay? That was a very famous one. Eli Manning and the whole debacle at the NFL draft when he refused to put the Chargers hat on.
I'm not about to do this.
Putting the Chargers hat on. You're going to trade me to the Giants, and the Chargers ended up trading him for Phillip Rivers.
And just to point it out there, just to be, you know, on top of everything and be factual, actually, last night my man Chris Belcher just told me they had a snafu with the Mega Millions. So they do have issues with the lottery balls. So I guess I can't fall on that one because they had issues with the lottery balls and they couldn't broadcast the results. So
machine dies.
Thank you very much, Chris Belcher. As a matter of fact, when I was riding in, John, I saw the Mega Millions like 330.
Is it?
Yeah, I got to
get back on. Here's the Atlanta story. Back in the day, the Braves had the number one pick in Major League Draft. There was a superstar pitcher out of the University of Texas named Todd Van Poppel. Have you ever heard, Hugh, of Todd Van Poppel?
No.
Todd Van Poppel said, I am not going to go play for those god-awful Atlanta Braves. I am just refuse. And the Braves were prepared to take him. It was all the talk of the Journal Constitution. They were looking at this stud pitcher, Todd Van Poppel. And Van Poppel came out and said, nope, not going to go. Braves said, okay, he's not going to come here, not going to come here. We'll go to our second pick. We'll take some guy named Larry. So they drafted a guy named Larry. You know him as Chipper.
Hey, that worked out for everybody.
Well, it didn't work out for the Oakland A's because Todd Van Poppel stunk.
Oh.
And it did work out for the team that would have taken the shortstop named Larry. Now you know the rest of the story.
I just found out what water is. Wow.
You knew what it was.
I did not. No, honestly, John, I did not. Mm-hmm. But now I do. And I'm disturbed.
Coming up on the show, 7:40, Julian Gressel on Atlanta United's game tonight, 8 o'clock. Steve Holman live on the Hawks and what he thinks of this 8-10. Next, a key player for the Atlanta Falcons retires. We'll tell you who and what it means when we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Morning show with John and Hugh on a very busy Wednesday, extremely busy Wednesday. Coming up on the program at 7:40, Julian Gressel on tonight's big Atlanta United-Vancouver Whitecaps game. Can they make it five shutout wins in a row for the Five Stripes? Steve Holman at the top of the hour at 8, and we'll still get back into our discussion about Austin Riley being called up to the Atlanta Braves and what all that means. This, in and around everything else that's going on with the NBA and the NBA draft lottery last night. So a lot to discuss, including, of course, the NFL. And there are a couple of big stories about the Falcons this morning that we want to pass along to you as the one involves Arthur Blank in a moment. As the Falcons get ready for now mandatory training camp, OTAs going on right now, which are voluntary OTAs, Hugh. But for the most part, voluntary OTAs where the veterans and the rookies, all 90 players that they have, they're usually fairly well attended, aren't they? I mean, I would think.
OTAs, it all depends on where you are. Some people come out to see the team. It's not like it's going to be for training camp, if that's what you're comparing it to. No, it's definitely not going to be like that.
A key player for the Falcons over the last couple of years has announced his retirement. Andy LaVitre has went on Instagram last night and said, basically, and I'll paraphrase what he said. It was very nice notes that he said. But basically, my body has told me I have to stop. And that is not a shock. I mean, he has gone through quite a few injuries over the last couple of 3 years. He was impactful to the team when he was here.
Yeah, no question about that. Had a chance to see him in the gym a couple of times. Thought he was getting ready to, actually go to try to, go to another club. But, he probably had a good run here. Family's here. And at this point, he probably has other interests. And right now, being with another club probably does not interest him that much. Until he makes it official and sign that paperwork, there might be a chance he might come back.
He has suffered a lot of injuries.
Yeah, that could do it too, John. I mean, when you think about that and just going through that rehab and trying to come back, yeah, that could be it too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know this better than anybody. You played the game for 10 years. I mean, there just gets to be a point where you say, man, how much more can your body take? Because this is true of the sport, Hugh. The fans, because you said once, and I've tried to relate it to fans too. Now, obviously, I never played in the NFL, but I have had, the luxury of being down on the sidelines, standing there during NFL games, many of them, and whatever you think of the speed and the power and the ferocity of the game, when you stand on the sidelines, it's 100 times more impactful.
Oh, no question about that. And then think about it, when you're out there actually playing. I mean, there were times where I walked out on the field and I was with my son when he was young, and I was just like, wow, I was a idiot for doing this as long as I did. I mean, because that's the way I looked at it. I was like, wow, to put your body through that, man. And then you think about what I feel like now, sometimes when I get up in the morning. And I mean, it's not as bad. I don't have it as bad as some guys have it. Mm-hmm. But when you think about when you go out and you have friends that, that did other things and they're running around with the kids and they're functional and they don't have the same kind of exit pace. They have it, but it's not the same. Mm-hmm. You look at it and be like, man, one hell of a trade-off. But I wouldn't change anything about it. It was a fun time, had a fun time doing it. But when I look at it now, I'm just like, wow, much respect for the guys that go out there and do what they do. That's why for me, a lot of times it's hard, even with all professional sports, it's hard to, use the word suck or a bum and things of that nature because what the grind is. Even though it's a different sport, the commitment, the level of commitment it takes to do that sport that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things that even when you have the guy that doesn't have the phenomenal talent, like say guys are not on Freddie Freeman's level, but they're in the majors, you have a tremendous amount of respect for them because you know how hard it is to get to that next level. So it's hard to really just like chastise guys when you see them like having a downtime or something like that. It's real tough.
We did a story yesterday. Peter King, who's now with NBC Sports, had ranked all 32 NFL teams. he put the Falcons at 17, and he put the 49ers at 7. And we kind of went, okay. You know, really, is this what the national media thinks of the Atlanta Falcons? I mean, you're going to put the 49ers 10 spots ahead of them? But, you know, and notwithstanding that, it was just sort of what we brought up. But we read the story from Peter, and it started with the line that, and this is Peter King's words, Falcons owner Arthur Blank is getting restless, okay? So Chris Mortensen, for those of you who know Mort from ESPN, should know that for a long time, Mort was one of the big writers for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, right? So he was here in Atlanta for a long time. So Mort decides to reach out to Mr. Blank and say, are you really restless about, you know, is Peter King right that you're restless with this? And, you know, look, you can't blame Arthur Blank if he is. He's going to be 70, I had to look it up, 77 years old this year. But Arthur Blank decided to put out, Mr. Blank, the following statement here. I'm feeling very good about what Thomas Dimitrioff and Dan Quinn have done in this offseason. We have some key guys getting healthy again. The draft picks are getting up to speed. The new coordinators are meshing well, and I'm confident we're going to be ready to go for a very competitive training camp. I like where we're going. And he said to Mortensen about the restless comment, no, not at all. Off base, I am always restless to be better. Good is the enemy of great. So, you know, is he getting restless? Look, if he were, I wouldn't blame him one bit. Not a bit.
I mean, you get a little tired of the same scenario, but that's the life of an owner. That's the life of an NFL owner. That's the life of an owner that owns any professional franchise, is that, you know, you have an ideal of where you want your team to be. But, you know, it's you can construct the best team in the world, but it's all still kind of left up to chance. You know, injuries and things like that, they could take their toll on the team, and, you know, it just might not be a year. Might be another team's year, but the best thing that you can do is try to put together the best roster that you possibly can and make that run every year.
Well, I'm not the owner of the team. I'm restless, okay? I'm restless. I want the Falcons to do something now, because this is why I reacted, you know, to Peter King saying 17. Look, the Falcons have earned being a middle-of-the-pack team based on what they've done last year. I mean, we can talk about the injuries all we want, but based on last year, they are a middle of the pack. They were the 17th best team in the NFL last year, somewhere around there. So, I mean, they deserved it. My thing is that my firm belief is that healthy, and this team is getting healthy, and I guess it has to be healthy because we can't presume injuries. Healthy, this is a very good football team, and they are not the 17th best team in the NFL, not by a long shot. I think they're a, you know, top eight team, if not a top five team, from a talent standpoint, because they have talent at every level, and, you know, a star talent, all pro talent at every level.
I'll give you that, but, you know, the number that's alarming and is somewhat concerning is the fact that your franchise quarterback, the guy that you paid the most money to, got dinged up a little bit last year, was second in the NFL only to Kirk Cousins as far as how many pressures that he had in the NFL. So that's something that you definitely have to correct. You're doing that with some rookie talent, some young rookie talent that you're dependent on. That's probably why you put the Atlanta Falcons at the middle of the road in a situation like that.
Oh, sure.
Because at this point, everybody's speculating. And if you can't get the ball to your playmakers, then it really doesn't matter the type of playmakers you have, because you don't have anybody that can deliver them the football.
No, again, I agree. I think you're rebuilding the offensive line. You brought in Carpenter. You brought in Brown. You brought in a blocking tight end in Luke Stocker to go with another blocking tight end and Logan Paulson surrounding Austin Hooper for a reason. You know, I mean, you drafted Olsen not only because he can run the ball, but because he can block. This is all about blocking for Matt Ryan and giving him enough time. Because in the Super Bowl run, that's exactly what the offensive line did. It would be a block for Matt Ryan. They were as good as any offensive line in the NFL that year. And so we see, and I'm not mad at Peter King. I did think the restless comment. I wouldn't blame Mr. Blank for being restless. If Arthur Blank is restless, then by God, he has every right to be.
I think there's a little bit of truth to that, because you think about it like this. Mr. Blank, in the last, 4 years, 5 years, has had tremendous lows and tremendous highs. Well, tremendous highs, tremendous lows, and then another tremendous high. And you know the first one I'm talking about. We don't have to go through all of that. We don't have to talk about that. But then right after that, you go with your upstart soccer team, and in 2 years' time, you win an MLS Cup. You are, like, this is the thing for Arthur Blank. Like, I feel like he's all about his legacy and what he's been able to accomplish. He has done something for Major League Soccer that will go down in the history books. Like when they say, well, what was the turning point for soccer in America? They might point to Atlanta United. That's a good chance that that is going to be the case. And he is going to be the one that is going to be looked at, that has been the tip of the spear as far as changing the culture of soccer in America. He might be looked at as that guy. I mean, that's I don't think I'm out of line for stating that, because I think that's the case. So now you want to leave your mark on the NFL. That's what you're trying to do. That's the next move that you're trying to make. But he's already, like, as far as being restless, yeah, he would like a Super Bowl ring. But as far as his legacy, I think he's pretty much solidified in as far as his legacy is concerned. He's pretty much that dude as far as that.
Oh, I think he has absolutely solidified that. He has made his mark on American soccer, and he's made his mark, Hugh, one thing we tend to overlook sometimes, on this city with what he built downtown.
Oh, no question. That, but what I'm saying is, like, when you talk about that's for the people in the know, but I'm talking about for the general pop,
yeah, right. I get it.
Oh, yeah. He dude. He's that dude.
And arguably right there, alongside Ted Turner, is the two greatest owners in Atlanta sports history of what they meant to this city. Arthur Blank and Ted Turner. Both deserve statues. Intercom presents the Tycoon Music Festival starring Kendrick Lamar, Chris Brown, Trey Songz, 50 Cent, and more. It's Saturday, June 8th, Solaris Amphitheater in Lakewood. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. When we get back, big game for Atlanta United tonight. What Julian Gressel told you and I, that's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tonight, big game for Atlanta United, going for 5 in a row against the Vancouver Whitecaps. The pregame starts at 9:30 with Mike Conning and Jason Longshore. The kick is at 10 tonight, going for 5 straight wins, 5 straight shutout wins. And ahead of the game, we had a chance to talk to Julian Gressel's, like, Hugh, you're my good luck charm. We had a chance to talk to him late yesterday. I want to bring you a little bit of that interview. We start by asking him, in the last game, he had that goal taken back on the offsides, and how frustrating for him was it to have that goal overturned?
It is, you know, it's a bit obviously disappointing, and it kind of takes something out of you a little bit where you fly pretty high right after, and then, you know, the referee takes that away from you or from all of us, really, you know. It obviously took a while to celebrate. We certainly enjoyed that one, and then we get back in our formation, and then he goes, all right, now we have to look at it. It's like, all right, I guess, you know, it is what it is. That's VAR, and ultimately, I think he still got it right, which what VR is there for.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unfortunate because, like I said, it was a beautiful goal. But your teammate, Penny Martinez, you know, there was a lot of talk about him coming over and how great of a player he is. How did it feel for you guys, for him, to finally get to score that goal and you know, get his first goal in MLS over here in America?
Feels good. I mean, you know, we obviously know what he can do in the training. Like, we've seen him score a bunch of goals and a bunch of special goals. Like, even the one he scored, that's an incredible strike. And yeah, we knew it was just a matter of time, you know. And I think now it's come. You know, the first one that came, and I'm sure he was itching for it. We were all waiting for it anxiously as well. So now, hopefully, the floodgates are open, and we can see him score more.
Talking with Julian Gressel, of course, tomorrow night. Late night with Atlanta United and the Vancouver Whitecaps in Vancouver. Now, we understand that a couple of guys aren't making the trip, Nagby and Parkhurst, and I guess, you know, it's not unexpected. There's nothing wrong, by the way, Atlanta United fans are just resting, that there's going to be some lineup changes, because right now, Julian, getting rest is going to be really important for this team. So Frank DeBoer's got a bit of a chess match to play here, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you know, by looking at the schedule, I already got tired before the stretch, to be honest with you. It's obviously a tough time for us as players, where now, you know, this might be a good game. Where Frank, I guess, thought that, you know, Parkey and Darlington should stay home and rest, you know. Obviously, with some history, Parkey's played a long time, and Darlington with some injury history, I think it's a good thing. Doesn't take away anything from us, so that we want to come here and win and get 3 points, you know. And I don't think that changes anything in our mentality. In terms of rest, you know, whoever steps on the field, he's going to give 100% and it's going to go all out, you know, and this game matters just as much as the next one just because there's 3 points on the line, you know.
You personally, how does your training regimen change when you have so many games in a short period of time? What do you do differently that you don't normally do when you have like a week's rest?
You eat whatever you want, kind of a thing. Obviously the right stuff, but you eat a lot more. For me, I eat a lot more, and then you basically don't train. You know, you kind of just try and sleep a lot, take naps, you know, come in the training ground, and then really just, yeah, take care of any small injuries you have, and then live in the ice bath. And you don't really train much on the training field. Yeah, we're probably going to go on the field today and step out just to get ready, some tactics for the game, but it's really all walkthrough pace and everything, so it's nothing, you know, no intense work at all. And yeah, you kind of just try and recover from game to game.
So you take me through this. When you say you're eating stuff, I mean, was it like carbo loading? What are you eating?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot, you know, like you try and eat, get energy into your body, you know, that's really all that counts. So, yeah, usually pretty heavy carbs every meal.
So are you like a spaghetti guy? Are you a linguine guy? Where do you go with this? Are you a sandwich guy?
I like to change it up, you know. I mean, I don't can't eat the same thing every time. So just, you know, if it's rice, if it's pasta, if it's a sandwich, if it's, you know, whatever. Obviously, we get fed pretty well at the training ground. That's always a plus, you know. Or you can come in and you have the chef preparing some good food for you and some healthy food for you as well. That's good in those times, you know. And then obviously now when we're on the road, the hotels, you know, they make sure that we get the right stuff in us so we have the energy for the games.
Yeah, I understood. Hey, Justin Merrim joining the team. Here's a veteran that comes into the locker room, and we only had a chance to see him for like, I don't know, 3 minutes or something the other night. But he could turn out to be a valuable asset for this team going forward.
Yeah, and I think that's why we made the trade, you know, just to bring somebody in that is experienced, that can come in at any time in a game and influence the game immediately. You know, and I think we'll see a lot of him in the coming weeks here.
All right, so, you know, and back to this streak that you're trying to build. Julian Gressel joining us live. Julian, of course, Atlanta United midfielder. Julian, not just four straight wins, but four straight clean sheets for that guy back in goal. And what a game he had against Orlando. How about Goo?
Yeah, it's, that's what he's there for. it's obviously a great streak. You know, we take a lot of pride in that. I think every team does. And when you have a streak like that where you get four wins with four clean sheets, I think that speaks a tremendous value to the group, not just Brad. Obviously, Brad has done his part. You know, we can't always go without a shot on goal where sometimes he has to come up and make a save. But like I said, that's what he's there for. And he's the first one, you know, to kind of, obviously yell at us, but at the same time, be then there and ready for it when it comes, you know.
Julian Gressel talking about Brad Guzan. And Guzan, four straight shutouts, 366 straight minutes without allowing a goal. And maybe they can get another one tonight. May need one. Doug Roberson, Hugh, in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution is saying that, now we won't know the starting 11 till they send it out about 30 minutes before the match. But in addition to Parkhurst and Nagby being left behind so they can rest for Sunday's game at New York, Roberson is saying that Julian Gressel might not play tonight, LGP might not play tonight, and Tito might not play tonight. We may see Dion Pereira, Flo Pogba, and Justin Merrim get starts for Atlanta United. That would be an interesting front line with Justin Merrim with Pitty and Joseph. But it would give you LGP, Tito, Gressel, Nagby, and Parkhurst all rested for the New York game because you're going to have to do a little mixing and matching here.
Yeah, there's no question about that. With this stretch of games that you have in such a short period of time, you're going to have to be creative in the way that you rest guys. And the thing that I feel pretty comfortable about is the fact that, you know, even though we've had some of these growing pains, it's starting to feel like we're coming out of it, number one. And number two, by us having so many moving parts with this team, that you feel comfortable with most of the lineups that they do put out there, because they've had a chance to work with one another, and the continuity is starting to come together a little bit.
And of course, keep in mind we're doing this with Barco, not even part of the club right now, over in Argentina playing with the U-20 national team for Argentina, and he won't be back till close to the end of June. So it's mix and match time for Frank DeBoer. Getting Justin Merrim some playing time is going to be important because Joseph and Tito are going to join their national teams at some point. There's going to be a point where we won't have Barco, Joseph, and Tito None of the three. They're all going to be going playing international. It's part of them, MLS, and we're not the only team that has this. Everybody in MLS gets dinged with this because of the nature of the when the season is played for MLS. Steve Holman, voice of the Hawks, going to join us live next. We're going to talk about the Hawks, 8 and 10, the NBA draft lottery, and more as we continue next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.